Being a God that is able to keep, a God that is able to save, and a God that is able to deliver. Amen. We live in challenging times, especially spiritually. This message sort of came to me yesterday while I actually was preparing something else. There are so many ministers today that refuse to make a stand for God. They refuse. They've had some of the popular televangelists that they were interviewed, and they said, "Oh, no, you can't ask me that question. So, no, you're not going to trap me like that." Well, the Bible says in Isaiah, the 58th chapter, concerning the men of God, it says, "Cry loud and spare not. It says, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Amen. Show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sin." And then he goes on to tell them, he said, "You come to me daily as though you're righteous in all of your unrighteousness." He said, "You fast, you pray, but you're not even doing it my way." And our most important thing is we want to be a quality as far as God is concerned. Amen. Salvation is something that takes place in our hearts. We're not going to disparage. It seems like people are so preoccupied with everything but God. Amen. And you watch the news and you see people are dying at such young ages, and you see diseases are just ravaging, just taking over, and people are just dying one after another. There's just so many calamities and problems. And you would think that with all these calamities and problems, that mankind would have a sense to turn back to God. But it seems like the more trouble they have, the farther away they're getting from God. But tonight we thank God that we have a mind to seek the Lord while he may be found. Amen. We're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from Deuteronomy chapter 13. Amen. And I guess our subject is obviously on the board, is silence is consent. Silence is consent. And that's not just for ministers. That's if you're saved. The Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord." In other words, God has saved me. Amen. God has taken me out of a world of sin, and he's placed my feet on the street called straight. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed out of the hand of the enemies. Well, God has redeemed us, not for us to keep it to ourselves. Amen. As we often sing a song, "I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I could not keep it to myself." Amen. We silence is consent. When you don't make a stand, as Brother Fred said, when we went down to the Brotherhood meeting down south, he said, "Elder, you got to tell them, if they don't stand for something, Fred, they'll what? Fall for anything." Amen. So, we have to make a stand tonight in our homes. Privately, we need to make a stand. Socially, we need to make a stand. And the stand that we have to make is for God. But how are you going to make it? Not through silence. Amen. Because silence is consent or agreement or tolerance. Silence is agreement. All right? You're in fellowship. Are you you're tolerating it? Well, that's not what God expects for us. Amen. People are dying every day and going to hell. Amen. People are being afflicted in their minds and they have no source, no strength. When we have the answer, because Jesus is the answer for the world today. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 13, we're going to read together. I think it's verses 1 through 11. Verses 1 through 11. Amen. Do all we have it?
None.
All right, let us start. "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God ruleth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thy hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards
the hand of all the people.
And thou shalt stone him with stones, that he die, because he has sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. Lord, we thank you for all your promises. Lord, we believe that your promises are sure and steadfast. Our soul is anchored in the Word of God. Now, Lord, tonight we ask you to speak for thy servant here. Lord, we ask you to set free those that are bound. Lord, we ask you to heal the brokenhearted. Lord, we ask you to give peace to the troubled of mind. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to open the eyes of those that have been spiritually blinded by the adversary. Lord, open our ears and the hearts of our understanding, that we may know what is thy will. And we ask you tonight, may the word of God have free course. Lord, we ask you to summon any spirit, any power that would hinder. Lord, bless us according to thy word. And for this we thank you. Can we all say, in Jesus' name? Silence is consent. Today people are, and we're going to read it a little later when we go back to this. Today people are so conscientious, worried about people instead of pleasing God. Amen. Paul goes over in the book of Galatians, and also Jesus said it. Jesus said, I do always those things that please my Father. And because I do the things that please my Father always hears my every prayer, my every word, because I do always the things that please my Father. Well, we live in such a time spiritually where everyone is pleasing everything but God. And that's alarming. Amen. Most of the time we make decisions, we make it first concerning mankind, and then later we think about God. Well, the Bible says we're supposed to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, all of our souls, all of our minds, all of our might. In other words, everything we have should be wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in Jesus. But it's not like that. Amen. When we make decisions, we don't stop and say, Lord, what will you have me to do? Amen. Which direction do you want me to take? Most of the time we make a decision, God says, well, I don't want to offend this one, and I don't want to hurt that one. And God is standing back all along saying, just speak my word. Amen. Amen. Because my word is true. Well, this is Moses and the Lord in dealing with the children of Israel. He starts off in verse 1. He said, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, well, if he speak unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, amen, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them automatically. When anyone tells you something and you know he's gone contrary to the word of God, that should be a red flag. Amen. It should be a red flag that goes up when it's he said they're telling you something that's contrary to the word. Amen. It doesn't make a difference who it is. If it's contrary, that should be a red flag and we should stop. He said, verse 3, thou shalt not hearken unto their words. Don't listen. Amen. And you know, the church as a whole, and our church in particular, there are a lot of people doing a lot of things, but it's not lining up with the word of God. So he said, if it's not true, then don't hearken. Amen. Don't hearken unto them or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God does prove you. Now he said, they're seeing these things that come to pass, but they're doing it contrary to my word. God says, now I'm allowed it to happen, but I'm doing it to test you. Jesus. Amen. Because we are supposed to know the word of God. Jeremiah said his word was found. Amen. And I did eat it. And it became the joy and rejoicing of my soul. And the scripture says, I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Well, today, God's word is not doesn't have the preeminence in our lives. Amen. We're not esteeming his words. You know, if you ever try to take food away from somebody that's really hungry, you're going to be in for the fight of your life. Right? That's the natural food. Well, how much more should we fight for the spiritual food? Amen. Because the natural food, when you die, is nothing. But the spiritual part in you, when you feed that, that part will live on forever. Isn't it so amazing how the devil can get us to focus on the things that we see and we forget about the things that we can't see? When the scripture said the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, they are eternal. Our focus has to get back on God. It has to get back on pleasing God. It has to get back on doing it God's way. So he said, now, you should have been able to discern. The spirit of discernment should have allowed you to say, now this is not God's word. Even though they're saying it, even though they're telling evangelists and prophesying and doing all these things, it's not lining up with the word of God. So God said, now I allow these things to happen, not to overthrow you, but to see where you are. I allow them to happen to prove you or to test you. Amen. So when you hear something that's contrary, you should, if the Bible doesn't back it up, and the Bible says it has to be how many witnesses? Two or three. Scriptures should be able to support anything that's said. Now they make a doctrine out of everything. You got people cowering like a cow. And then you got the laughing ministry. Where is it in the scripture? Amen. So there are a lot of things that are taking place today because people are in spiritual error. But if the Bible doesn't back it up, God said, now I'm allowing this to happen. I'm allowing them to have 10 to 15,000 people in their church. But I'm allowing this to happen to prove you that know the truth. Amen. He said, I'm allowing it to happen to know whether ye love the Lord your God. And that's ultimately whatever happens. God permits it as a test to know who do we love. Amen. Well, I love God, but I still have to please this one. No, God has to be number one. Amen. God allows whatever we have to go on in our lives to prove our love to who? Him. He told Israel when they came out of Egypt, he said, I suffered you. In other words, God said, I allowed you to go through the wilderness. What was it took for your demise or to hurt you? God said, no. I allowed you to go through all that trouble because I wanted to see what was really in your heart. Trouble reveals the real you. Amen. In the midst of your trouble, do you run from God? You run to God. In the midst of your trouble, do you act ungodly? Or does the God in you shine out? God said, I allow these difficulties to happen because I want to see what was in your heart. Not for me, but for who? You. Because God already knows. God allows things to happen in our lives for us to see ourselves. And then seeing ourselves, the Bible says, examine yourself as a test. Examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith or not. And he goes on to say, verse 4, ye shall walk after the Lord your God, for if there him. Let me use this up here, because it says, this is critical, that's why it's in the bed. It says, ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and what?
Yeah.
We're walking after who? God. Amen. No matter what's being done in, as far as the churches are concerned, if it's not in line with the word of God, we don't want to do it. Because our ultimate goal is to fear is to reverence, to hold God at the highest esteem. Amen. Above everything, we hold God's word, fear him, and keep his what? Keep his commandments and obey the man's voice. Obey the neighbor's voice. Obey the husband or the wife's voice. No. He said, I want you to obey my voice. Amen. Obey my voice, and ye shall serve him, and what? Cleave unto him. Unto who? God. Amen. Cleave, when you cleave to something, you just can't pull it apart. Amen. I got a hold. It's like a death grip. How are we supposed to have a cleave or death grip or hold of God and His Word and His commandments? And no one. I don't care. Listen, the devil tries to be the biggest bully, but he can only go as far as God will allow him to go. So stop cowering down to the pressures of man and not yielding to God. All right, you beat me time. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to what? Death. No longer silence, because silence is consent. He said, don't just be silent. Don't just accept it. Don't tolerate it. He said, that dreamer shall be put to death. Why? Because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God. Amen. Anything that turns you from God and not to God, it said, put it to death. That was what they did then. But in the spiritual, we need to put some things to death. Amen. There's some things that are happening in our lives. We need to put them to death. And the scripture Paul said we need to mortify. You ever see somebody in the morgue? They're dead. He said we need to mortify some of the deeds in our bodies. Why? They're taking us away from God. He said, from the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And then later on it says, in the latter part it says, so shall thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. Don't even tolerate it. Don't even have it in your midst. He said, now, and this is where a lot of our conflicts are coming in today. Well, they're my family and they're my loved ones. I just want to tolerate them a little bit. This is what he says. It's either God or it's nothing. God has to be number one. Now, quite naturally, today we don't put him to death. But it's a sense of separation. So if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife, this is covering everything that's close to you, or of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is so close, he's even as your own soul. He said, now, if they try to entice thee secretly, in other words, they're trying to get you to go against God, and they're trying to do it, as you always say today, on the DL. Right? That's the way they use the DL secretly. Like nobody knows, but God knows. He said, if they try enticing secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers. Let's skip. Namely, the gods of the ungodly. He said, thou shalt not. Don't agree with them. Don't be in fellowship with them. Don't tolerate it. If it's contrary to the word of God, he said, they're trying to do it secretly. They're sneaking and conniving like God doesn't know it. He said, now listen, don't consent with them. Amen. Because your silence is consent. So God said, make a stand. So, whoa, that's not scripture. That's not God. That's not Bible. Amen. He said, thou, holy cow. Paul and George, how do you mess up? Sin unto him, nor what? Hearken. Don't be in agreement with them. And why do you be in agreement? By doing or being in consent or hearkening unto them. If it's contrary, if it's wrong, if it's evil, if it's contrary to his word, don't be in agreement with them. Amen. So, well, okay, they're my friends, so I didn't say anything. Silence is consent. If you don't make a stand, that means you're in agreement with them. Okay? So hearken unto them, neither shall thine eye. Say, don't be feeling sorry for them. Don't have pity for them. They're going contrary to God. Love the Lord thy God. The first great commandment is to love who? Lord. Then everything else. He said, now, if they're taking you away from me, God said, don't you have pity on them? Don't you have compassion on them? Because they're trying to turn your heart from God. He said, neither shalt thou spare him, neither shalt thou, don't conceal it. If he's wrong, said, brother, I can't, sister, whoever, what you're doing is contrary to the scripture. I'm not going to hide this. I'm not going to be in agreement with you. I'm not going to consent to it because you're trying to turn me away from God. If you don't say something, silence is consent. Amen. If you're in sin and they're doing everything around you and you laugh and you're going along with it, your silence is consent. You have to make a stand. It said, but thou shalt surely kill him. Amen. You make a stand. This is under the old law. We can't kill him. Hey, thou shalt not kill. Back then, that's what God told them. In other words, what he said is you got to make a stand. Amen. You must make a stand. Your silence, you know, sometimes when we're dealing with our children, our family members, we say, well, I just got to let them go. No, God said your silence means consent. So I'm silent when they 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Then when they turn 19, I figure out what's wrong with them. Your silence meant that you were in agreement. So all these years, you shaped them by not saying anything. Now that they're up in age, you want to correct them. It says, train up a who? Child in the what? Way that they should go. Then when they are what? Older, they won't depart from it. Your silence. Oh, I saw them do it, but I didn't want to ruffle their feathers. I didn't want to push them. You got to make a stand for God. Listen, when we make a stand for God, Joshua said, choose ye this day. You got to do something. You got to make a stand. Your silence is consent, and that consent will turn their heart and your heart from God. Joshua said, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. In Elijah, when he was fighting with the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove, he said, halt, how long halt ye between two opinions? He said, either God is God or Baal is God. There's no in-between. When it comes to us making a stand for God, there's no in-between. Now, we can rewrite the Bible. We can put our own theology on it. But if it's not two or three scriptures to support you, it's still not right. Amen. Everything should be supported by the scripture. All right. It says, why do you make a stand? In verse 11, and all Israel shall hear and fear. When you make a stand and say, everyone will hear and they will fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness. You got to make a stand. And this is Psalm 50. It says, our God shall come and shall not keep silence. Amen. You know, God is allowing a lot of things to happen, but God is coming. Amen. He's coming. And guess what? He will not be silent. Because God knows silence is consent. Amen. God will make a stand. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to heaven from above and to earth, that he may what? Judge his people. Amen. The judge of all earth, the Bible says, shall do right. It says, gather my saints together unto me. Amen. God wants us as church to be unified and to do things his way. Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Take a pause. Reflect on who we have to answer to. God is judge. He said, now, with all this in mind, it's time for you to take a pause and then reflect. We must make a stand for God. Amen. I'm going to skip a little of this. This is him dealing with offerings. And 50 verse 14, it says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. Why? Because you're doing everything for me. And you will reap what you have sown. So what are you supposed to offer unto God? Thanksgiving. Amen. Complaining and crying and griping all the time. That's not God's way. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the who? God is number one. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But unto the wicked, amen, make a stand. But unto the wicked, God says, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that, what does it say? That thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth. And you know what God is saying? That everybody said, praise the Lord, I love Jesus. But you're not making a stand. Amen. You're putting your covenant in your mouth, but your heart is so far from me. God said, now, don't be like the wicked, because the wicked talk about God, but their lives have no reflection of God. We need to get back to allow God to be in our lives. Amen. To be in church and praise the Lord is one thing, but when you get out of church, when the wicked or someone does something, when you act like them, that's wrong. Amen. It says, offer to God thanksgiving, and our lives are intended to glorify God. In conflict, if you're glorifying yourself, that is not God's way. It says, when thou sawest a thief, you were silent. And because you were silent, you consented. Because silence is what? Consent. Then thou consentest with him. Everybody, well, this is my friend. We've been friends for so long. What are they standing for? If you're consenting with sin and you're not making a stand, you're in agreement. And that's not God's way. If you're with, and Paul talks in Corinthians about have no fellowship. If a brother's a brother have, and he's in fornication, he said have no fellowship with your wife because you're consenting. And when you're consenting and you don't say anything, when you're silent, that is consent. So you have to make a stand. So when I saw a thief, basically you didn't say anything, so you consented with him, and you have been in fellowship with adulterers because you didn't say anything. You allowed them to be around you. You tolerated that. God says, wrong. He says, thou givest thy mouth to evil and thy tongue to frame deceit. Now we're supposed to be saying it for God, but we're doing everything contrary. Amen. You know, you ever see some people that are so fast and say something negative and very slow to say anything for God? This is what he's talking about. Don't do that. He says, verse, this is why you have to make a stand and say something. These things hast thou done. He said, and I kept, when you keep silence, this is what God says. Because God is all knowing and all wise. He allows us to go through things, but he keeps silent. He said, but this is what silence does. Because I kept silent, thou thoughtest that I was what? Silence is agreement, is consent. God said, I kept silent, but I didn't keep silent because I was in agreement. He said, so as a saints in the church and people, don't be silent to sin. Don't be silent to unrighteousness. Don't be silent to those that are ungodly. You got to make a stand, because when you're silent, then they will think that thou are all together just like them. You, silence is consent. He said, but you can be guaranteed, because I'm God. He said, I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. He said, now consider this, ye that. See, you keep forgetting me. You keep forgetting my word. He said, now, ultimately, because after you develop a pattern of forgetting, after you develop a pattern of doing it your way, you're going to get so set in doing things your way that you're going to be an enemy of me. So he said, when you become my enemy, God said, then I will tear you in pieces. And there shall be none that shall deliver you. All right. So, in verse, let's go to verse, I don't want to read all of it. Let's go to verse 16. It says, for thou desirest not sacrifice. In other words, God is no longer intended, he's no longer interested in the motions of salvation. You know, some people have learned how to shout to praise the Lord, but down here, it's not right. So God said, I'm no longer interested in your outward show. Amen. But I'm interested in what's in your heart. It says, I don't desire sacrifice, else will I give it. Said, thou delightest not in burnt offering. God's not interested. He said, for the sacrifices of God are a what? Broken spirit. Be humble. Humility. Be broken. When you look at God, be like Isaiah, say, woe is me. When we look at God's word, you know, all of us that in this flesh, you always come short. Amen. So when we look at the word of God and we look at ourselves, we should be broken. Amen. The sacrifice of God, a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou will. Some people say, oh, you just let people walk over you and do everything and say, I'm just doing what I can do for God. But we still do it with a sound mind. A broken and a contrite heart. Not mouth, not mind, not action. He wants to know what's in your heart. A broken and a contrite heart, thou will not. I know it's hard to see that. Thou will not despise. All right, and people say, well, silence is consent. All right, let's see what happened with Paul. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens and received a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus, for to come to him with all speed they departed. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred. Amen. When we are around anything that is not godly, it should cause our spirit to be stirred. And the Bible says, if you read 2 John chapter 11, when it came with Jesus. Now, a lot of people get 2 John 11 chapter all mixed up. They say, oh, Jesus cried because he was so emotional. Jesus told him in the beginning, he said, this sickness is not unto death, right? So why is he crying when he knows he's not unto death? Right? So they get all mixed up. Oh, Jesus was so emotional because Lazarus had died. He already said he wasn't dead, he was asleep. Yeah. So when Jesus is dealing with them, he's not crying because of Lazarus, he's crying because of their unbelief. And the Bible says that Jesus, in dealing with them concerning their unbelief because they refused to accept his word, the Bible says he groaned in the spirit. His spirit was stirred. And then when he came to the stone, to the cave, there was a stone. He said, roll ye away the stone. And they said, oh, he's been dead for 4 days. Jesus groaned again. Because you just aren't getting the message. It is the word. He said, now roll ye away that stone of unbelief. Amen. You know, because they don't have the spirit of God, they think, well, God was so compassionate and emotional. He was dealing with their faith. As with us. And whenever you're dealing with someone and they don't have the faith, your spirit should be stirred. Not to act ungodly. Amen. But to do God's thing. So Paul's spirit was stirred because the city was wholly given over to. Paul said, I cannot be silent. I'm in the midst of an ungodly people. If I'm silent, that would show consent. It would say, what you're doing is right. So Paul's spirit, because he had the Holy Ghost, was what? Stirred. Therefore, the spirit, he in the synagogue, what did he do? He said something. He made a stand. Because he was in the world of the ungodly. All right, verse Galatians 2:9. It says, now this is when Paul, and I believe Paul and Silas, or Paul and Barnabas, went up to Jerusalem to be to speak with the brethren concerning the circumcision and all, and they went to them that were pillars of them of reputation. He went to the apostles of the leadership of the church. It says then when James, and we know Cephas is who? Peter, right? Peter and John, who seemed to be the what? Pillars, received the grace that was given unto me. This is Paul. They gave unto me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. All right. But when Peter was come to Antioch, Paul said, I made a stand. Peter was who? A pillar. Peter was a pillar in the church. He was leadership. Okay? He said, I withstood. He wants to be blamed. For before certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew him, drew and separated himself because he feared the people. We got to make a stand for God. Amen. Whenever you start living a pillar in the church, a leader, amen, one who was given orders and helping to direct the others, fear calls him to go contrary to God. Silence is consent. Make a stand. Fearing them which were the circumcision, he said, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, and so much that Barnabas, who was with Paul, was carried away with the stipulation, and they were being hypocrites. That's what they mean. They were saying one thing, but they were doing another. So Paul said, I withstood him. Well, Paul, you just went to be accepted or to receive your approval from the pillar, who was Cephas. Now, why are you standing? Because Paul said in verse 14, but when I saw that they walked not, what? If they don't walk according to the truth, you got to make a stand. Because when they're wrong, if you're silent, that means I consent. I'm in agreement. You can't be silent. Paul said, now, I realize I'm the least of all the apostles. My approval came through Peter. But when you're wrong, Peter, I got to tell you. Now, he didn't do it in an ungodly, irreverent way. We just let him know through the scripture. He reasoned with him through the scripture. He said he did not walk uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. I said unto Peter, what? Before them all. Silence is consent. But Peter calls the other brethren to be in what? Error. So what did Paul do? He withstood him. Amen. What does that mean? No matter who it is, if they're wrong, don't you accept it. Don't you accept it? Well, is bishop, apostle, archbishop, so-and-so, were they wrong? Amen. Did they do it according to the scripture? Was it according to the gospel of truth? If it's not, you better make a stand. Amen. Because you're silenced. You say, well, they're in charge. Paul showed you right here, though they're in charge, if they're wrong, you got to make a stand. Because God said, I'm going to require this at your hand because they're not walking. Hey, they're not walking according to the truth. Amen. They're not walking according to the truth. We must walk according to the truth. All right. All right. Go. Did y'all have your Bibles? But I have to use my mind now. The computer's over here, right? All right, let's go to St. John's chapter 19. Silence is consent. We must make a stand. St. John's chapter 19. If you can get it back on good, if not, we can go for it. And just to let you know what fear can do, amen, we're going to go to verse 19. Okay, let's go to verse 38. St. John 19:38. That's right, the devil can't stop me because I got it in my mind, and if not, I got it on the computer. I was just doing this for y'all's sake, but I got it anyway. Verse 38 of St. John, as we have it, it says, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, how come? Fear. Fear, the Bible says, where there's fear, there is torment. When you don't make a stand for God, when you refuse to say anything, when you're silent because of fear. Now, Joseph of Arimathea was a part of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was a ruling spiritual really spiritual party. There were about 71 men. They were the Pharisees, the chief priests, and the elders and the scribes. Well, they were a ruling party. Well, Joseph was a part of the Sanhedrin. So he served Jesus, but secretly because of fear. Amen. He goes and says, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. That's when Jesus said he must be born again. All right, and brought a mixture of Marinellos, about 100 pounds. But the problem was that both of these were members of the Sanhedrin. They were disciples, and they were disciples how? Secretly. Okay, good job, Tony. With the help of Mama. They were disciples how? Secretly. Amen. Fear. Now listen, we don't read much about Joseph of Arimathea or Nicodemus. They never reached the spiritual state promise that they could have reached because of fear. Though they believed God, they knew Jesus was right, they were followers, but they did it secretly. Whenever you make a stand for God and you're doing it secretly, you will never blossom to the spiritual height because God can't bless you when you operate out of fear. Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore saith he, awake thou that sleepeth and arise. It's time for us to make a stand. Amen. It's time for us to stand up and be counted. It's time to say something, because when you don't say anything, your silence is consent.
That's right.
Amen. In your homes, on the job. Listen, when I worked at GE, they did a lot of things. I was young and I was rambunctious because I didn't know any better, but I made a stand. When you make a stand in your ignorance, God will still bless you. But you got to stand for something. Amen. Don't let people just do any and everything around you, because you're supposed to show the love of God. Your life is supposed to reflect Christ. Amen. It says, time to awake and arise from the dead. Christ shall give thee light. See, fools, but as wise. When you don't make a stand, you're not walking wise. Amen. When you're not as what? Fools, but as wise. When you don't make a stand, you're not walking wise. Amen. When you allow yourself, the Bible says we're in the world, but we're not what? Of the world. So we have to exist in the world, but we don't take on the characteristics, the nature, or the conduct of the world, because it's not God's way. Why? Because we are what? Redeemed. Now it said, let the redeemed of the Lord what?
Say so.
The only way you can show you're redeemed is you got to make a stand. You got to say something for the Lord. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. Say, wherefore be ye not unwise. It's the same thing. Unwise, understand what the will of the Lord is. For many deceivers. And in Deuteronomy, he called them dreamers and prophets. They're false prophets. Many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and if you're dealing with people like that on a regular basis, it's time to separate yourself, because their goal and their desire is to turn your heart from following God. And we're going to read about it down here a little further and tell you about it. It says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the what? Doctrine of Christ. If they're transgressing and they keep talking Jesus, but their life does not line up with the scripture, it says, plainly, they don't have God. Because if you got God, your life is supposed to line up with the scripture. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. There's the spiritual stuff in that, but we keep going. If there come any unto you, all right, you got to make a stand. You got to say something. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, it says what? Receive him not. Don't let anything come in. You got to make a stand. Your tolerance, no matter what it is, parents, don't allow that stuff that's ungodly. Don't tolerate it. Don't let it in. While they're at age, you can control it. Now, when they get up age, they're on their own. But it says, don't receive it into your house. It's contrary. It's conflicting. Neither bid them. It means to receive. You know, you ever see somebody, you know, they're sinner, they're hypocrite, and you just go, oh, praise the Lord, I'm so glad to see you. Don't do that. You can treat them as a person, but you don't act like you're overjoyed and zeal and you're in consent with what they're doing. You don't grant them Godspeed. Why? He said, for he that bidding him Godspeed is. When you start receiving them like they're all right, and you give them the joy reception, he says, now you just consented that they're all right, and now you became a partaker of the evil deeds. Listen, God's word is replete in trying to direct us. What man has done is they've taken the Bible to make it tolerant. It says, well, in the Old Testament, they killed them to make them an example. Now he says, don't even allow that to come into your house. And not only that, when you see them on the street, don't bid them Godspeed. You can be kind, you can be godly, but don't act like that devil is your best friend. Amen. And don't allow that fornicator to be in your house. Fornication could be spiritual fornication. In other words, they're dipping and dabbing and everything. Because when you grant them Godspeed and allow them in the house, your life is now in fellowship with sin, with wickedness. You're going to partake of their what? Evil deed. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Your silence, when you don't say anything, is consent. And when you know someone is wrong, they're contrary to the scripture, it says, don't receive them into your house. Don't allow them to come in to be comfortable because it's wrong. When you allow them to be comfortable and they're wrong, and then you act like they're the greatest things besides apple pie. Apple pie is all right. You're from New York. If I'm from Georgia, I say peach pie. A peach cobbler. But when you act like they're the best thing, and you don't make them feel wrong, ashamed in their sin wrong, then you have just become a partaker of their evil works. Paul told Timothy, he says, Timothy, this was concerning his spiritual authority, he says, lay hands suddenly on no man. In other words, whatever you do, before you ordain someone, Timothy, before you put them in a position to be used, he says, make sure that they approve themselves, because if they don't prove themselves and you put them in a position to stand before the people and they're wrong, you become a partaker of their sin. Salvation is about making a stand for God. If you're silent, that's consent. Well, you know how frustrating it is to get. You should never get frustrated when you're doing it for God. Amen. For God I live, for God I die. We need to make a stand. Tolerance is no excuse. You know, like I said, a lot of ministers have said, well, you can't get me trapped in that. We're supposed to be trapped because we're supposed to be crying loud and spare not. Yeah. Amen. We're supposed to show people when they're in error, when they're going the wrong way, so that they can get back on track. And remember this. Say, well, I must be all right because, you know, let me tell you something. Conscious. The Bible says your conscience is a means of either accusing you or what? Excusing you. Your conscience will either accuse you or excuse you. When it starts accusing you, God is greater than that conscience that's accusing you, and he knoweth all things. When your conscience is accusing you, stop for a little while. You know, that's why you got those Selahs, Selah. Reason you have that means stop and reflect. Amen. We're so busy going forward, most of us never stop and reflect. Amen. We don't stop to see what God has done for us, how good God has been to us, how good God has made a way. Amen. We don't stop to reflect how good God has been that our 13-year-old child, 12 and 11-year-old children are blessed in heaven. You got 12, 8 years old being abducted, killed, murdered. He says, stop and make a reflection. Thus saith the Lord unto unto thee, a warning comes before destruction, and a hardy spirit before a fall. Thus saith the Lord thy God unto thee, humble thyself under my mighty hand, and I, the Lord, will exalt thee. Humble thyself, submit unto me, and resist the devil, and he will flee from thee. But thus saith the Lord, with many of you I have tried your heart. I see not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but I, the Lord, search and I try the heart, to show man what is in man. Thus saith the Lord thy God unto thee, be still and know that I am God. Search and try thy ways, and turn again unto me, and I will have mercy, and I will abundantly pardon, thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We can't add no more to that. Amen. The old song said, get right, church, and let's go home. You know, it's really alarming. One of the biggest alarming things is the unwillingness of parents to make a stand. You know, we had kids growing up, and we made a lot of mistakes, like everybody makes mistakes, but learn from your mistakes. Don't repeat them. Everybody makes a mistake. The danger of making mistakes is when you don't learn from your mistake. You know, a lot of times people say, well, I need to allow my kids to be able to dim and dab and dance. The Bible never said that. The Bible said, train up a child, what? In the way they should what? Go. The way they should go is God's way. Now, when you tolerate them doing other things, that's not scripture. It's not God's way. Amen. Even when we deal with our loved ones, if you can have some influence and you don't exercise that influence and they look up and respect you and you don't make a stand to lead them in the right way, that's not God's way. Because your life is supposed to be what? A living epistle. Read it on a fool. Some men. You know, some people say, well, you know, I can be saved in church, I can be saved here. It said, everywhere you go, all men should be what? Everywhere you go, our lives are written on, let us stand. Amen. We need to take a selah, which means pause and reflect.